Okay, this is Area Radio. This is an archived version of a broadcast that was done on September 25, an interview with the head of tourism, John Fiesler. And I hope you enjoy this. And a lot of things we talk about here in this interview are timeless, a lot of reasons to come to Frederick County and have fun. So enjoy. And this is brought to you by the Area Guides Network and Area Radio, arearadio.com. Thanks again for tuning in.
Area Radio, arearadio.com. Right back with our live programming.
Okay, we're back again. This is part two of a show with tourism downtown Frederick here. And again, the official name I keep...
The Tourism Council of Frederick County.
There we go. Tourism is easier for me. Mm-hmm. And if you go to frederick.com, keyword tourism, you're going to find them there as well. And this is brought to you, this second segment, again, by areaguides.com, the Area Guides Network. Take a look and, of course, log on to frederick.com. And we're here with John Fiesler. And we were talking in the first segment in general about Civil War, hiking. I see a lot of bicyclists using Frederick County. I think the air is cleaner up here, for one thing.
You're absolutely right.
I think, and did you get a chance to see that sunset last night here? Mm-hmm. It was, the sky was just gorgeous, and you know, just like a lot of things you said that we kind of take for granted if we're here in Frederick County. I'm up in Thurmont now during the fall and the springtime. It's beautiful up there. We take some of these things for granted until we go down to like Bethesda or somewhere, and we see that the difference. I think there's a real quality of life here that that visitors, of course, if they're on vacation, that's a big plus as well, I'm sure.
Well, and we often say that you know, getting there is half the fun. If you're going out to visit one of our wineries or the covered bridges, folks enjoy the countryside if it's not what they're accustomed to. If they're normally in urban traffic or in, you know, more densely populated suburbs, just getting out and driving past cows and silos is a treat in itself that folks who do that as part of their daily commute because they live up here might stop seeing after a while. So it is... one of the things we're very fortunate to have, the topography we have being right at the edge of the Piedmont where the mountains start, gives us some beautiful scenery. And even with the growth pressure that comes from the Washington metropolitan area especially, the bulk of this county is still zoned for agriculture or for open space or resource conservation. So we're very fortunate to know that it's a balancing act, obviously, for our local elected officials, but we do have a great deal of that landscape that is protected.
Sure, sure. And I've also noticed you mentioned driving through the countryside. A lot of motorcyclists seem to like to tour through Frederick County as well. And these aren't your, you know, Hell's Angels types and so on. I mean, these are, you know...
These are doctors and lawyers,
yeah,
and
coming
they
up
finally
here,
got to buy that toy.
Coming up here to spend some money, too, and drive through, and a lot of them say they ride to eat, and they come up here and find the places to eat and so forth, and just want to get away from that congestion that's down around the metro area.
Well, and a number of them are in groups or maybe informal or formal clubs that do kind of take turns planning trips, and it'll be some outing that maybe they were on with their spouse, and they bring the rest of their group along the next time they do it. And sometimes the destination is an ice cream cone, or maybe it's an interesting site. We do know that there are some that do, for instance, Civil War history as part of their rides, or maybe just some interesting site. You know, we have a great number of those around, from the Monocacy Aqueduct, the southernmost tip of the county, to the Point of Rocks train station, to the Civil War, the War Correspondents Arch at Gatlin Park, the Jug Bridge, the Catoctin Furnace, just sort of these neat things that are out there in the landscape that folks that discover them for the first time are happy to show off to their friends and family.
You know, I lived in Montgomery County before I moved up here, like I think so many other people moved out looking for a higher quality of life and so on. We used to come up here day trips and buy the fresh fruit, vegetables, things like that, and end up somewhere to eat, like the Mountain Gate or whatever. And over the years, it seemed that we bought more and more. We had to have a bigger car because we'd find other places to stop, and the whole trunk would be loaded with things, antiques, you know, whatever. And I think we should touch on the economic aspects of this, because the governor, one of the comments that the governor made at the fair, and again, you can see that whole interview if you go to Frederick.com, keyword GOP, or just put in Bob Ehrlich, and you'll see we interviewed him there, and he made some comments regarding tourism, and he made some comments specifically regarding the amount of money that the business side of this thing. It was staggering. What did he say? $16 billion or something? It was some huge number, and you have to listen to the interview to get the exact number. But he was talking about Maryland in general.
Yeah, statewide, I think the last figure I saw was maybe about $11 billion. I know the governor's been pushing the tourism office, the state tourism office, as part of the Department of Business and Economic Development, to get up there to $15 or $16 billion.
Yeah, and those numbers are just staggering. I mean, $1 billion—that's just almost
it's real
you
money.
Can't even comprehend, you know. And then you're talking about multiples of billions and billions of dollars. And I'll tell you, for one, if you're a business owner and you're in Frederick County, I can tell you right now, you should talk to John Fiesler if you're not already involved with tourism, because that's a lot of money to try to plug into. And if you can help some of these businesses tailor themselves a little bit to try to plug into some of that money, that's a big part of what tourism does, correct?
Well, and that really is our mission. Although, you know, we have the fun job of promoting all the great things we have here, the real goal is to bring visitor dollars into our community, because really it's not just the businesses that benefit. You might think at first, okay, it's the hotels or maybe the hotels and the restaurants, but it really is money that benefits each and every taxpayer in the county, because these are dollars that get spent by people who don't live here. And obviously our local governments have their hands full meeting the needs of the people that do live here, whether it's building schools for their kids or extending roads or sewer lines or whatever it is, the infrastructure. When you have that spending by visitors, they go home and they leave their money behind. And there's always a lag with these figures, but 2004 is the most recent number that I have. And just within Frederick County, $271 million was spent by people who live at least 50 miles away.
Wow.
So, you know, you mentioned coming up here from Montgomery County to go to the orchards or whatever.
That wouldn't count.
That wouldn't even count. So if you went to a Keys game and had dinner in downtown Frederick and bought some antiques and went home, using the national and international standard of defining a visitor, you don't even show up. So we know the figure's a lot higher than that. But just going beyond that 50-mile standardized measurement, that's $271 million within a year. So it makes it one of the county's largest industries. But it's very diversified. If it was a single plant with lots of trucks on the road doing $271 million worth of business, everybody would know that's one of our big industries. But it's very diversified. It's a lot of entrepreneurs, mom-and-pop shops or whatever it might be, right up to the big hotel chains that make up the tourism industry. And so it's not only the direct dollars into the economy, it's the benefit of the tax dollars paid on those expenditures that benefit.
Well, absolutely. And a lot of these travelers come at off-peak times, so they're not contributing to rush hour traffic. And you already mentioned they're not going to school here. They're not using those things that are cost a lot of money. So it's really good money. I mean, it's nice clean money that's not costing us a lot of money to generate.
Amen.
Obviously, you're doing things to help generate that, and some tax dollars go into trying to stimulate this. That's what the governor was talking about and so on. But at the same time, it's a lot more bang for the buck than other things that you could do. And I've, for a long time, also been an advocate of trying to tap in more to e-commerce for the same reasons. If you've got a mom-and-pop store somewhere and you've got a certain product or whatever that you sell, if it's something that lends to also selling it online, that brown truck can come and ship that stuff to Timbuktu, but the money still comes here. And so that's another way that if we work smarter, not necessarily harder, we can get money into the community that doesn't necessarily strain our infrastructure the way other methods of doing the same thing would do. Now, you mentioned hotels. Obviously, they benefit from this tourism. You mentioned restaurants. And, of course, through the trickle-down, of course, people have to get a job at the hotel. So obviously, if they employ a local person, then that helps that person and so on. And then, of course, the tax dollars. What other antiques? Let's talk about antiques, because I think that's a big thing in Frederick County. I know I used to come up here and buy antiques. How big a business is that, and what kind of potential does that have for also drawing more people here as far as tourism?
Well, Frederick County is very well known for antiques. Certainly Newmarket established itself early on and known for decades as the antiques capital of Maryland. But we've actually seen that spread, obviously, into downtown Frederick, but also even some of the little crossroad communities as you drive around the county. It might be a shop that's only open on weekends, but there are some great finds to be had. And the further you get away from the metropolitan areas, the more likely you're able to find the good stuff that somebody hasn't already gotten to, and hopefully at a reasonable price, too. So we know that there are, you know, interior designers that come here from many states away, and maybe it's a once-a-year pilgrimage, but they will stock up and spend some serious dollars here because of the genuine, you know, furnishings that they're able to find here.
Now, speaking of, let me interject here, speaking of interior designers and furnishings and so forth, in Thurmont, that fabric, forget the name of the place now, but there's a huge facility there that sells fabric by the roll, or you buy it by the yard or whatever. You can also buy leather. You can buy a whole hide that's bigger than this table we're sitting here at. I actually bought a green leather hide to have an antique chair, a platform rocker that I got from my folks, to have it recovered in leather. I saved a whole bunch of money by buying the hide from them and then having a local here do the covering. And that place, the bargains there are phenomenal. And I see people with Virginia tags, DC tags, they're all, because I drive by there every day. And that's obviously a destination. And I'm guessing if you put Thurmont fabric, you'll probably find the place because it's kind of off the beaten path a little bit near the railroad tracks there. But that place is drawing people up. So like you said, there's probably places that we're not even thinking of that people are coming up here.
Well, and you mentioned the value of the internet and getting the word out, and that really helps the craftsman that chooses to live in a community or on the side of a mountain or wherever it is they choose to live can still be doing business, you know, where their customers are because their customers are able to find them. And so we're fortunate that we do have artisans and craftsmen that want to live here. And
come up here for the quality of life.
Exactly.
And then they can plug into the rest of the world by utilizing the internet. It's interesting you should mention that because I read an article this morning on WiMAX. It's not really the next generation of Wi-Fi. It's not designed to replace. Wi-Fi is, if you're new to the internet a little bit, Wi-Fi, you go to the local coffee shop and they might have internet that you can tap into with your computer. It's going to be a Wi-Fi wireless network that you can connect with. There's a new generation of that in the pipeline that is, well, like I said, it's not really a replacement. It's designed to augment that. And has much longer range, much more powerful. And what it's designed to do is bring ultra-high-speed internet to the rural areas. And the way it's being designed, Intel is big behind this. They will have a transmitter, and then it'll reach 20, 30, 40 miles to another transmitter line of sight, and it'll deliver 10 times a T1 speed of internet to that remote location, which in the past has been very difficult to do. And with a series of these relay stations, in effect, you can cover huge areas with broadband internet service. No more having to run a cable out there. No more having to run a fiber optic cable. None of that. And so we're talking a year, 2 years down the road. We're not talking a long timeline here. This thing's going to roll out to where you can be literally on the side of a mountain. As a matter of fact, that's a good place to be because it's line of sight. And you can sit there and have multiple T1 speeds. So that opens up all kinds of possibilities with anything you want to do. Because right now in rural areas, in some areas, you can't get a cable modem. The satellite internet isn't very fast.
So you're dialing up.
And so that really is going to become a dinosaur a year or two down the road.
Well, we mentioned that, you know, increasingly folks are getting travel information for planning travel via the internet. But also, when we look at our statistics for our website, we see that like noon during the workday is the most visited time. So people are taking advantage of faster access in the office to do what very likely may be personal planning. But at least they're doing it at lunchtime.
As long as they're planning to come to Frederick County, Maryland, USA, it's authorized.
Amen.
Okay. Now, don't abuse this service and use the internet at your work, especially if you're a government employee and you're being paid by our tax dollars and so forth. Don't abuse this service and use it for other things, you know, your online banking, things like this. But if you're coming to Frederick County, USA, we authorize you.
That's right.
Officially to do that. And now, so we've touched on, people want to come up here for a higher quality of life and set up shop here. It's a great place to do that. People want to come here and spend money. It's a superb place to do that because the bargains abound everywhere.
That's right. Well, and, you know, just last week I had a writer who was doing a story about, you know, great times you can have without spending money. And obviously, as we mentioned, our goal is to try to attract, you know, visitors who are going to spend. But you can also have a great time here without having to spend a lot of money.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that because most of the major events here are free.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is a small admission fee to get into the Great Frederick Fair. But most of the other events that we've mentioned here today are free. And that's not normally the case in a lot of more sophisticated communities. And I'll translate sophisticated as meaning expensive. Here you can come up and you can enjoy a great day at the In the Street Festival, for example, and the vast majority of it is free. This is a big bonus. This is a big plus if you've got a big family. And you can come up here and you can eat cheaper than you can eat somewhere else. Here's a trick for you. If you're a Costco member, just stop there at lunchtime and the samples they give out there, you can probably take care of your family and tide them over. But literally, you can come up here and probably spend the day as compared to staying down in Montgomery County and eat out and do some fun things and so forth and spend less money than if you would have stayed at home.
And some of the special events we have, such as the summer concerts during the summer in the band shell in Baker Park or the family theater presentations, you know, they do ask that you bring a canned item to donate.
A donation.
But, you know, it's hard to beat a bargain like that for quality entertainment, a great time, a great setting. The concerts on the terrace at the library, you know, during the month of September each year are a great opportunity. So there, you know, there's plenty, and whether it's just strolling, you know, as the park gets longer, there's really a lot of ground you can cover just walking from Schifferstadt on down to the Del Plaine Arts Center.
Let's talk about Carroll Creek. You touched on that. We've got about another 15 minutes here. So let's go into a little bit of detail because I'm not real familiar with what has gone on with Carroll Creek. You call that a revitalization, a restoration, or how would you describe what's going on down there?
Well, a little bit earlier I mentioned the Tourism Council forming in October of 1976. That same month, downtown Frederick also went underwater. So what a development during the organization's first month in existence to have a major attraction like the downtown area of Frederick go underwater. But there were two bad floods. Even earlier I mentioned that Barbara Fritchie's house being destroyed by a flood. That was 1868, so Carroll Creek has always flooded. It had nothing to do with development on the Golden Mile in the 70s or some of the other things that have been suggested. It's because of the mountains to the west of town, and when there's a lot of rain at once, a heavy thunderstorm or whatever, that water from the mountains is moving fast when it gets into Frederick, and then it slows down. And so, as a result, with the meanders in the creek, there have always been problems with flooding. The two times, Hurricane Agnes in 1972, and then an unnamed storm in the fall of 1976, that was sort of a freak occurrence. Nowhere else around the region flooded, but it was a simultaneous 100-year flood of Monocacy River and Carroll Creek. And as a result, the flooded creek had nowhere to drain because the river was up to flood stage. And so over 100 acres of downtown Frederick went underwater, and it was at that point the city got serious and said, we need to do something. They brought in the Army Corps of Engineers. They started coming up with a variety of scenarios, some of which could have been pretty drastic, a big concrete canyon through the center of the city, or things that would have really divided the town in half, when the idea emerged to run the floodwater underground. And if you've been to the collection basin at the corner of Bench Street and Carroll Parkway, you can see there
is
you know, how it works.
We're there at the end of Baker Park?
Right.
Okay.
And you can see there that the stream that you see further downstream through downtown is really just a decorative channel that at that point is flying through the air because the basin falls off on either side. So if the water rises at all in the creek coming through Baker Park, it spills over the side and goes under four conduits, each large enough to drive a tractor-trailer through, that flow underneath the park through town. So that's what handles the flood control. Beyond that, it was seen as an economic development opportunity, an amenity to develop this linear park. And also, you know, we had, as we said, all this land that had either not been built on before or it had, you know, say tanneries or old structures that had been destroyed by previous floods. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was going to build there today because they couldn't get flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the creek and FEMA having certified it, suddenly the city has all this developable land in the heart of its downtown without having to think about coming in and raising historic structures or anything like that.
Okay, so now what's in the plan? What's going on there now? What's in the plan down the road? Do you know?
Well, any day now, the city, I think it's October 20th, will be celebrating the completion of the first stretch of the park, or the latest stretch coming through downtown, which runs basically from just west of Market Street, about where La Paz is located, all the way to slightly east of Carroll Street, so just east of the Del Plain Visual Arts Center and the bridge mural. That stretch has been landscaped and a number of bridges put in, a suspension bridge, a stone arch bridge. There's another bridge that very soon will have a decorative art wrought iron railing and all of that sort of paying homage to the fact that Frederick's always had this, I don't want to say hodgepodge, but variety of different types of bridges, steel bridges and wooden bridges and the like. And then the spaces that have been created to one of the really nice things I think the city has done is to team up with the property owners, the private sector developers, developing the land that fronts the creek.
Okay.
So that the features on the creek in the park match up with the doors or, you know, the paving that the developer's doing. So it's, I think, been done really seamlessly to make that blend together.
So now are you going to have restaurants along there and shops? And do you know what's planned there specifically?
Well, they're still leasing some of the spaces that are just now being finished up, but at least a couple of restaurants that I know about, ice cream and some other shops that will be in the ground floor retail. The upper levels, I think, have been those that are office space have been occupied already. And coming online pretty shortly will be some residences, condominiums that are in big demand right now.
Will most of this be occupied and open by In the Streets, or do we know?
Some will be for In the Street this year, but I think that they haven't finished fitting out the buildings with In the Street as close as it is, I would say. There's more, obviously La Paz opened and was really the first new occupant along the creek, if you will, with that section. Some of the other buildings are still being worked on.
Okay. And then you mentioned there will be other sections. Do we have a rough timeline on?
The city has just started. The Richard Griffin's office, the office Department of Economic Development, is just starting the design for the next phase to the east. So starting about, as we said, just east of where the Del Plain Visual Arts Center is located, heading from there toward the fairgrounds, basically, right to Patrick Street, and then the stretch between Patrick and Highland Street will be finished up. And I'm not sure the exact timeline. It depends on, I guess, how long it takes to develop a consensus on the design, get all those documents in place. But it's in the works.
Okay, John, I'm going to play this clip we have one more time by the governor where he says more people should come here. And then what we're going to do, we've got a few more minutes, we're just going to recap on the different reasons that we touched on already why people should come here. And just for those that are just listening to the second segment of the show, this is going to be all over the internet, and so you could be listening to it who knows where. We'll have this on live digital. We'll have this on YouTube. We'll try to get this thing everywhere. So if you're listening, I'm just going to play this little clip here of the governor, and then we'll wrap up.
The following is an audio clip from a portion of an interview done when the governor of Maryland visited the Great Frederick Fair. You can see the entire video of this interview on Frederick.com, keyword GOP. Frederick.com, keyword GOP. Without further ado, this is Governor Bob Ehrlich.
You too.
Governor, can you just quickly wrap up? You've been here all afternoon. Obviously, as you just mentioned, you were really well received here today, and it looks like you've got a lot of momentum and so forth. Any final comments for the visitors to Frederick.com? By the way, we have about 40,000 unique visitors a month.
Well, I want to encourage many more visitors to Frederick.com first.
2.5 minutes.
We love visiting this county. There's so much to do and see.
Well, now there you have it from the governor of Maryland himself, saying that more people should go to Frederick.com, and we think that's a good thing. Again, you can see the entire video of this interview on Frederick.com, keyword GOP, or put in Bob Ehrlich. We hope you enjoyed this audio clip.
Okay, and so who are we to argue with the governor? He said more people should visit Frederick County, Maryland, USA. So we're going to recap here again some of the major reasons that we talked about that people do come. And before we do that, though, John, let me thank you for coming on AreaRadio.com. This is kind of like bleeding-edge technology here, streaming over the Internet, but we think it's the way things are going to go, so we might as well experiment with it.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you for the opportunity.
And give your website address one more time, because people that are listening to this, by definition, will be on the Internet.
At www.frederictourism.org.
Okay. And we talked about the Civil War is obviously a big reason to come here. And we did mention Landon House earlier. So go to Frederick.com, keyword Landon, and you'll see a bunch of photos of things that go on there and so forth. By the way, speaking of events, they're going to have a big haunted mansion coming up. That's another annual event here that they do. And they say they're going to outdo previous years, that this year they're really going to go all out. So that'll be their haunted mansion. So you'll find out information on the events calendar on Frederick.com about that. And we talked about the In the Streets Festival. That's another big annual event. We talked about Baker Park, 4th of July. Drive up for that. That thing is a fantastic. Talk about free entertainment. Major bands singing. No, it was all free. Major country artist was here. I guess it was WFRE, WFMD sponsor some of that, mm-hmm. and they bring in this heavy-duty talent. And that thing is all free. That's just unheard of. And you can get here, and you can park, and you don't have to park 5 miles away. You might park a mile away. But they also have shuttles. Let's talk about that. They have the shuttle.
Right. You can, folks always try to park as close as they can to where they're going, but there are shuttles and satellite parking set up for some of our larger events. Another one I'd like to mention is Brunswick Railroad Days. You know, we have a lot of fall festivals that happen in our individual communities, but some that have a distinctive aspect, like Brunswick as a railroad town, running railroad days, same weekend as In the Street, but it's both Saturday and Sunday, so you can do both. And part of that is they run a train ride, and in the past that train has gone from Brunswick to Martinsburg, but this year it's going Brunswick to Frederick, and you can buy one-way ticket. So you can actually get on in Frederick, ride down to Brunswick, do summer railroad days, and come back on a later train, or vice versa. If you're coming up from the event in Brunswick, you can come up on it'll be three trains each way both days. You could come up on an earlier one. If you come on Saturday, go to In the Street and then go back to Brunswick. So we're excited to see that in the two communities and their special events folks working together to really complement each of those
events. And if you go to Frederick.com, put in keyword Brunswick, we have a bunch of photos from one of the Brunswick Railroad Days there as well. Now, the shuttle that they have from Key Stadium, that runs pretty much all the time now? Is that still in place?
The downtown shuttle is a weekday, you know, for commuters basically, folks that work downtown that can park out at the stadium. And that's you know, we have folks that work here that just love that, because you don't have to come in and park downtown, or if you don't have a permit for one of the parking decks, just park down there at a large parking lot that's, mm-hmm. you know, not used during the day most times during the mm-hmm. weekday, unless the Keys are playing early, and ride the shuttle. It's a very short loop, so it doesn't mm-hmm. take that long. A great amenity. Of course, you know, we also have the MARC train now running down the road.
And don't folks. They also do that shuttle sometimes for big events?
Yes.
Like in the street and things like that. And I'm sure you'll find more information if you go to the we also have some links to the Office of Special Events, to their website and so forth. They have various websites that they've set up for these different events, and we have some links to those, too, on Frederick.com. You probably have more information on tourism mm-hmm. about that. And all right, so we already touched base on the Civil War. That's a big draw. People come here for that. The Potomac River, I don't get down to that part, but you mentioned the towpath and, mm-hmm. and so forth along the Potomac here in Frederick County.
Right.
Is that all in good condition for bicycles and things like that?
It is. Hiking and biking are very popular. The Monocacy Aqueduct, the largest structure on the C&O Canal, which spans the Frederick and Montgomery County line, was recently restored, a $6 million restoration that Congress authorized. So it's gorgeous. It's been strapped up with steel and wood braces since those same floods we talked about in the 70s. It's been restored. It's beautiful. We have another aqueduct which actually collapsed in the 1970s, the Catoctin Aqueduct over Catoctin Creek, up closer to Point of Rocks, between Point of Rocks and Brunswick. And there's a local effort to get that rebuilt and restored.
Okay.
And on top of that, lock houses and just the towpath itself, if you just want to get away and have a nice flat surface to bike on, it's a great outing.
I know in Thurmont they're restoring part of the old trolley way into a walking and maybe for biking too mm-hmm. Pathway, so there's a lot of that going on. Well, I've really enjoyed this. It's almost 3 p.m., so we're going to sign off here. And John Fiesler, let's get your website address one more time. And do you want to give a phone number in case they want to call you?
Sure. You can visit us online at www.frederictourism.org, or we have an 800 number, a toll-free number, 800-999-3613.
Okay, that's great. And this is brought to you again by the Area Guides Network, areaguides.com. This is Area Radio, arearadio.com, and this was a live broadcast, and we will be archiving this. So if you're listening to this broadcast and it is not, let me see here, what's September 25th right
mm-hmm.
now?
Right.
And it's not September 25th between 2 and 3 p.m., then you're listening to the archived version. And go to Frederick.com and keyword tourism. You'll find out more information as well. Thanks again for tuning in, and we are out of here, and that'll be a wrap.